knew where his strength came from. David knew very well where his help came from. David very well knew where his strength came from, the victories that came in his life. He acknowledged that all that he had and all the success in his life came from the Lord. This morning, we must ask ourselves, how much do we really trust God? We have to submit this morning unto the Lord and His leadership in our life, and we have got to put our faith and our trust in Him because He is the sustainer of life, even as David is going to acknowledge here in this chapter. So he begins in verse number 1, in Thee, O Lord, to make sure you don't have any misunderstandings, his trust is in the Lord. Very key for the life of David. He goes on, we'll begin here in verse number 2. He asks, deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. So you find here that David, going unto God, acknowledging first and foremost to God that his trust is in him, he's asking God to open his ears, to take his ear and turn it to him, because David is a person in need. He is going to ask of God some things. He's going to also praise God throughout this chapter as well. And he's also going to ask God for the help that he needs, because you have to realize and understand that David desperately needs God to help him in his life here. So he asked of God for God to incline his ear unto him. And so you find here that David is acknowledging, number one, that his trust is in God. He asked in verse number 2 for God to incline his ear unto him and to listen to what he had to say. Verse number 3, be thou my strong habitation. You know, this morning I'm glad that God is our strong habitation this morning. I'm glad that God is strong this morning, and we have to acknowledge and realize, and we have to put our trust in God in acknowledging that He is strong enough to provide and take care of us this morning. I'm afraid that we live in a day and age and in a country where many people put their faith and trust in government. They put their faith and trust in programs that the government may offer. We put our faith and trust in our government's military often in our country. And I'm afraid, and I'm all for a good, strong national defense, but we must realize and understand that God is our defense this morning. And David here, in fact, in verse number 3, a great verse, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. And I like the word continually there. It never runs out. We can always go to God. We can always run to God. We can find habitation in God. We can resort to God in verse number 3. He goes on and says, thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Now, David can make note of this, and David can make mention that God is his rock, as he mentions in verse number 3, that God is his fortress in verse number 3. Now, you must understand, David is a person that speaks on experience here. It's not just a statement that David's throwing out there. David can back up what he is commenting on here, because David is an older man looking back over his life and realizing all that God is in his life. And he makes mention here that he puts his trust in God. He asks of God in verse number 2 to listen, that he is speaking unto God. In verse number 3, he's acknowledging who God is in his life. He is a strong habitation, he mentions here. He is a continual resort in verse number 3 unto David. He is his rock in verse number 3. He is his fortress in his life in verse number 3. Now the question for us this morning is, who is God to us this morning? Is God our rock this morning? Is God our fortress this morning? Is God our habitation this morning? Is God the one that we continually resort in? Is He the one that we base our entire life around? So he goes on. Verse number 4, here's his request. Deliver me. God, I need your help. David had enemies. David had people that wanted him dead. David had a lot of enemies in life that hated him and despised him. You'll find often in David's life that he's praying and asking God for deliverance. By the way, there's nothing wrong with asking God for help. There's nothing wrong with going to God and asking God for help and deliverance. And we find in verse number 4 a request David has for God. He asks of him, please, would you deliver me, he mentions here in verse number 4. Oh my God, verse number 4, I'll continue on. Out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. So he's asking for God to deliver him from the hands of the enemy that was seeking him. He's an older man. He's looking back. He acknowledges all that God is in his life. He admits in verse 1 that his trust is in God. He requests in verse number 2 for God to please give him an ear. We find in verse number 3 that he acknowledges several different aspects of who God is in his life. And then we get to verse number 4, a request that he has, because there are cruel men, there are wicked men that is after him, that despises him, that hates him, and he needs to be delivered from the hand of his enemies. He goes on in verse number 5, for thou art my hope. Now we find here the word hope is a good word. And it's not hope and change that we find from our government, I can promise you that. It's true hope. Hey, listen, dear friend, with God there's always hope. We live in a very depressing world. We live in a very depressed time. They even mention that the Christmas time of the year for many is the most depressing time of the year, when it ought to be one of the most joyful times of the year. There are a lot of people with a lot of problems. There are a lot of people that have a lot of needs. But may I say this morning that God is our hope. And I would hope this morning that our hope is in God and nothing else. David acknowledges here in verse number 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. So David acknowledges that his hope is in God, that his trust is in God, and he even acknowledges here that it's been that way since his youth. So David is now an older man, but David looks back and makes note here that God's been that to him ever since his youth. He goes on in verse number 6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So he acknowledges here in verse number 6 that and even talks about being in his mother's womb. And by the way, just a quick note here on verse number 6. That's why every born-again believer ought to oppose abortion. David acknowledges as an older man looking back that since his youth that God has been his hope and his trust has been in God. Verse number 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Do you see all the different terms and the words that David uses to describe who God is in his life? You know, sometimes it would probably do us a lot of good if we would just spend some time in prayer unto God and go to God in prayer, not necessarily just asking God for everything that we need, but maybe just spend some time going unto God in prayer and just acknowledging who God is in our life. May I ask this more? Who is God in our life? David acknowledges here yet once again that God is his strong refuge in his life. David knew that there was a place that he could go and find refuge, and that refuge came from God. David many times had no one else he could turn to. There were many a days and nights that David spent time alone. He didn't have anybody by his side. There wasn't anybody there to encourage him, to maybe speak an encouraging word unto him. Many times David was alone with no one else around. But David learned through those experiences that, hey, it was God that gave him the refuge that he needed. He goes on. He continues here in verse number 8, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." And David, one of his desires was that he wanted to be able to praise God and take his mouth to give praise unto God. As an older person who yet still had many problems, David was not exempt from problems just because he was an older person now. And as we get older, we can still expect there's still going to be problems in life. Just because we get older doesn't mean that problems go away. I don't know about you, but I find the older that I get, the more complex problems become. We live in a very complicated world. We live in a very difficult day. We live in a very dark day. And it's getting darker as the days go by. So as I age, and we have all aged, we've all gotten older, but I don't expect just because I'm going to be another year older this next year that all the life's problems are going to get easier. They don't get easier, they get more complex. David, even as an older man, still needed God's help. He was one that still needed to turn to God and ask of God, "Would you please deliver me, help me? I've got wicked people that are after me. I've got enemies that surround me. And God, I need your help." And David had complete confidence that God was going to take care of him, because as an older man, he can look back over his life and acknowledge all the times that God has provided for him. And that's one of the benefits of getting older. We can always look back and realize and point to all the times that God has provided. You see, as a young believer, maybe someone who first trusts Christ as their Savior and just starts to grow as a believer, they don't have a lot of things they can point back to. But as an older person who is aged can look back and point out how God has provided and taken care of him. How is it that David can use all these different words to describe who God is to him in his life? Because David can look back and point to how God has taken care of him. He moves on. In verse number 8, he asked for his mouth to be filled with praise and with thy honor all the day. Verse number 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age." So we can find here that he is an older person. How old is he? I don't know exactly what his age is, but he's an older person. He's in his older age, he mentions here in verse number 9. "Forsake me not when my strength faileth." What's David doing? He's acknowledging, "I'm not as strong as I once was. My age is creeping up on me. I can't run as fast. I can't run as far. I can't do as much. My body's breaking down physically." He's acknowledging here in verse number 9 that his strength is starting to fail him a little bit. I mean, he's not strong like he was in his youth. But David acknowledged that and realized that's why he needed God that much the more. Amazing. We all want to be younger. We all strive to look younger. We strive to be younger. The older that we get, maybe we're a little bit more conscious of our failures, and our strength is not what it used to be. And I'm there. I feel like I'm breaking down physically. I can tell that I can't do what I used to do. I think we can all acknowledge this morning, we can't all do what we used to be able to do. Why? Because it's a process that takes place in our bodies physically. Our bodies are wearing out. And David here acknowledges here that his strength, it's failing him in verse number 9. He needs God. He needs strength from God. He needs encouragement from God. He needs help from God. He needs refuge from God. he's describing as an older man the problems that he has, but he also reflects back over what God has done, and that's why he describes God in such a way in his life, because he's telling you who God is in his life. You watch the commercials on television and everybody's trying to sell you something to make you younger once again. I mean, they've got, I don't know, there's one product that you can buy and you don't have to change your lifestyle. You can eat what you want and lose weight. I don't know what it is, but you turn on the television and all these commercials are trying to sell you a product. But what is amazing to us is all the side effects of the product they're selling. Have you ever just noticed all the side effects? I mean, it's amazing. They talk very plain. It's very easy to understand the commercial. But when it gets to the side effects, whoever's talking, they speed up real fast. They don't want you to hear all the side effects to what you're getting ready to take, the product. There's products on the market, commercial after commercial after commercial. A lot of it's geared towards women to make you look younger once again. Now, the reason they're so popular on television is because everybody's buying it. Everybody wants to look younger. What person this morning wouldn't want to look 20 years younger? What person this morning wouldn't want to lose a few pounds? What person this morning wouldn't want to have some more energy, some more get up and go? We all would. But listen, here's the bare facts. You're going to get older, and as you get older, your strength's going to fail you. And listen, there's not a product alive that's going to reverse it. But it's okay. David's not upset that he's older. In fact, he's going to even praise God in his older age. He's kind of excited of where he's at in life. He's not mad that he's older. He's enjoying his time as an older person. He goes on. Let's look on. We'll move here a little faster, maybe. I got to move faster. So let's go. Let's see. I left off in verse number. Where did I end off at? Verse number 10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. So you find here David acknowledges some of the same problems that he's had all his life. There are people that lie in wait for him. There are some that would love to kill him. He is hated by people. He is despised by some people. And he has a large base of enemies in his life, even in his old age. Verse number 11, saying, all right, here's those that are taking counsel against him and those that lie wait for his soul. Here's what they say in verse number 11. God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. It's amazing, even the enemies of David know of the power of God. Pretty good testimony when your enemies even have to acknowledge that he has the power of God on his life, and because of the power of God that is present in his life, you're not going to touch him. And David is asking God for that continual help that he needs. David's already acknowledged he can't do it in his strength. His strength's far spent. I mean, it's gone. I mean, his older age is... His physical strength's just not there anymore. He still has enemies that lie in wait for him. And even his enemies are speaking out, and they're kind of thinking that God has forsaken him. And because God's forsaken him, we can now overtake him because God's not there to protect him anymore. Verse number 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. And may I stop and say real quickly here, God's not far away. You know, some have often said that God is only a prayer away. Whether you acknowledge it, whether you realize it, whether you want to accept it or not, God is present. David needs help. David's an older man. And David's tired. His body is weary. He's fought many, many battles. He's won many victories. But David still has enemies. And even in his older age, David still has a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties, a lot of trials. And David needs the help of God. He acknowledges that his enemies have even maybe gained some little bit of encouragement against him. Some of his enemies have even stated that God has forsaken him. We can take him. We can overcome him. God's not there present. God's not going to deliver him. And so David once again asks for God to step in and give help. Verse number 13, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Verse number 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. You know, as we get older, we ought to praise God more than we have in previous years. Why? Why is it that an older person can praise God more? Because you've got so much more in life that you've seen God accomplish in your life that you can praise Him more. I believe this. You know, it's pretty obvious often in churches and in the work of God when somebody gets saved and maybe a person trusts Christ as their Savior. I mean, they're excited, they're thrilled, and they ought to be. I mean, it's exciting to put your faith and trust in Christ. It is exciting to become a believer. It's exciting to be saved. But why is it that people that trust Christ as their Savior with their excitement and their thrill, a person can come in church and start getting involved. Maybe it's somebody that's even been backslidden away from God and comes back to God and comes back to church. And boy, they're excited. And boy, they've got they got energy. And boy, you can just see it on them. I mean, boy, there's just something taking place in their life. And it ought to be that way. But what it ought not to be, dear friend, is when we as believers who have been saved for a long period of time are dead and dry as dust. I think the older we get, the more we ought to praise God. I think the older that we get, the more happy we ought to be, the more excited we ought to be, the more thrilled it ought to be in our life because we've got a history of what God has done in our life. But it's the opposite in most churches. The older ones that have been saved and been there a long time. We go to church, we go through the process, and this is what we do because this is what we've always done. And we walk out the doors of the church after the service is over with like it's just another day at the park, it's just another service, it's another Sunday that's come and gone. I mean, but it ought not be that way. David even acknowledges here, look at verse number 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more, not less and less. The direct opposite of what we find in most churches today. The happiest people in this room ought to be the ones that are saved the longest. And I don't know who that may be this morning. I don't know who's been saved the longest in this room and so forth. But I think we could all acknowledge this morning that pretty well in this crowd this morning, most of us been saved for a pretty long time. And what's sad in most churches, those that have been saved the longest usually will put a wet blanket on the fire of those that just get saved. Here's where we're at. We've been saved so long, we look at people that are excited and say, well, it'll wear off sooner or later. Because it's done wore off on us a long time ago. I was saved at the age of 13. And I ought to be more happy today than I've ever been. And I ought to be more excited today than I was when I was 13 years old when I trust Christ as my Savior. And David even acknowledges here, you got to realize he's an older man. He doesn't have the strength that he once had. But you know, one of the key also things here we can acknowledge, you know, physically we don't need the strength that we once had if you're relying in the strength of God. And David acknowledges here that he's got enemies. They're lying in wait. They've even gained a little bit of encouragement against him because they feel like that they can maybe overtake him now in his life because he is an older man. He is weaker. He does not have the strength that he once had in his younger years. And they feel like they have an upper hand. And even David acknowledged here in verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. So he even acknowledges here that he's going to praise God more and more and more. What a happier place this world would be if we as believers would just praise God more and more, not less and less. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And that's the only reason that David can continue to go forward, because he's not in his strength, he's in God's strength. Now David probably could not have said that in his young youth. But as time has progressed and as he's gotten older, he realizes here it's not about his physical strength anyway. It's all about the strength of God and the strength that comes from God. And the reason David can keep going on is because of the strength of God. And David can speak by experience here. Why? He's been serving God for many, many years now. We find here in verse number 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Acknowledging when he speaks of his youth in verse 17, and the reason he speaks of that is because he's not a youth anymore. He's an older person now. When he speaks of his youth, he's speaking of something in his past, something way back there in his life. Verse number 18, here it is. Now also when I am old and gray-headed. I think we can all acknowledge that this morning. Gray-headed is a sign of age. Now I'm trying to battle that right now. Every time I find a gray hair, I pluck it out. I don't want it to spread. But I'm losing ground. In fact, I think one of my children said something the other day about, Dad, you got a lot of gray hair. I said, well, thank you. If you study a little bit about gray hair in the Bible, it's pretty interesting. Gray hair is kind of similar to wisdom in life. In fact, the Bible would describe often in the Word of God about gray hair, and it will refer to it as wisdom. It's something that takes place in your life, and gray hairs ought to be a sign of wisdom. You've been around a while. You've seen a few things. You've done a few things. And you can speak now by experience. David acknowledges here that he's old. His strength's not there anymore. He's fought a lot of battles. And it's been a constant struggle in life just to survive life. He says in verse number 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. It's interesting. David's basically asking God, God, don't put me on a shelf. I may be old. I may not be as strong as I once was. I may have gray hairs. But it's interesting here. David still wanted to do something great for God. You know, this morning, your age doesn't determine whether you do great things for God or not. It doesn't matter how old a person may be. It doesn't matter how much they have slowed down. It doesn't matter how much strength may have left. It may not matter how much gray hair is on your head this morning. If you're still breathing air, God still has a purpose for your life. And David wanted his life to still count for God. He doesn't want to be put on a shelf. He didn't want to be put out of commission here. David still wanted God to do great things in his life here. verse number 18 once again. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with being gray-headed. I'm not against if you want to dye your hair, that's perfectly fine. But I just want you to realize this morning, gray hair is a natural process from God. Better get over that one. I'll get in deep trouble here real quick. He goes on in verse number 18, forsake me not. He doesn't want to be set on the shelf. He goes on and says, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. It's interesting. David still wanted to teach the next generation about the power of God and thy power to everyone that is to come. David still desired in his old age to teach the next generation that was to follow all that God has done and all that God is in his life. You know, this morning I think that it's important that we teach the next generation about all that who God is. And by the way, if we don't teach them, who will? Maybe one of the greatest faults in Christianity today is not teaching the young generation about what God has done. Verse number 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. Talking about what God has done in his life. I like this last little phrase. O God, who is like unto thee? And the answer to that is none. No one can compare to who God is and what God has done. It's interesting, verse number 19, that last little phrase where David says, O God, who is like unto thee? And there's not a question mark there. There's an explanation point there. David's making a bold statement here. There's none compared to God. And no one can compare to God. God is far superior than anybody. And David speaks by experience. He's an old man. He acknowledges that, hey, I'm not strong anymore. David acknowledges to all of us he's gray-headed, but he still desires to do something great for God. And I think one of the biggest burden David is carrying at this point in his life, at this stage in his life, the biggest burden that David carries is wanting to teach the younger generation about who God really is. David wants that young generation to know about the power of God, the wisdom of God, the victories of God, the provisions of God. And David could teach them a lot because David has experience here. And David is burdened for that young generation. He goes on. If I can find out where I'm at, where am I at here? I'm in verse number 20. Thou which had showed me great and sore trouble shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. He goes on in verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verse 22, I will also praise thee with psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou holy one of Israel. Verse 22 speaks of some musical instruments that David plays unto God. And we spoke about that weeks and weeks ago, about the different musical instruments that they would often use in their praise unto God. And I'm glad to know that even David in his older years of life was still praising God for who God is. Listen, David is still excited about God. Oh, dear friend, I hope and pray that as we age and as we get older that we can still be excited about God. Still be thrilled about what God is doing and what God can do and what God will do in life. Oh, deliver us. Hey, we ought not be dead and dry. We'll be excited and lively and happy and looking forward to all that God has because God's still using us. So, well, I can't run as fast. Okay, well, then jog.
Well, I don't even know if I can jog. Okay, then walk, but do something for God. Well, I'm just not strong anymore. Okay, then rely on the strength of God. That's what David is doing. But I'm older and I'm gray-headed. Doesn't matter. You can still do great things for God this morning. Say, well, what can I do? Take a younger generation. That was David's burden. Let it be your burden this morning. Teach the younger generation about the power and the might and the blessings of God. Verse 22, he mentions here the praise that he gives unto God, the instruments that he uses to sing and play unto God. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. David is still praising God with his mouth. David is still in his old age singing praises unto God. In fact, David is still doing a lot of the same things he was doing in his youth. I don't know, but I assume here that David's singing and his playing unto God maybe would be just a little bit different later in life, because I think now David can look back over his life and look back in his youth and see what all God has done over his lifespan. And I think when David would sing, boy, David would sing praises unto God. Verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. David speaking unto his enemies here that thought they had the upper hand. David just let them know real quickly, you don't have the upper hand in my life because God's still on the throne and God's still alive. And God's still working in my life. I may be older. I may be slow. I may be frail. I may not have the strength that I once had physically. You may notice that there's gray hairs on my head. But God is still God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that you would help us this morning to realize that even though we age and we are older today than we were even last week, we may have physically challenges and we may not be able to do all that we used to do, but God, we can still do something. And God, you're still God and you're still on the throne and we can praise you all the day long. And Lord, help us to be excited. Help us to praise you for all that you have done and all that you will do. God, we look forward to this week that lies ahead of us and what you have in store for us. We pray that you would give us the strength to do your will this very week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.